Brent Beard, welcome into the game. Please get us back on track.
Well, we could do that without any problem. There's some big SEC games going on this weekend, Ryan, and some we need to, I think, focus on. Certainly this LSU-Ole Miss game is going to be very important. I think LSU can give Ole Miss a lot of trouble. That sounds kind of odd after the years, but that's kind of where we are. Arkansas hosts UAB. They probably will get back on the winning track, although UAB is a bit better. Florida, Georgia are both off. Todd Gurley, we understand, might be pretty close to coming back by the Florida game, so we'll certainly keep an eye on that one and kind of see where that goes. And Kentucky hosting Mississippi State, and you've got to believe Kentucky rebounds and plays better than they did the other day, but it, as always, it's a big week in the league, and one sets up the other. That's just kind of how it is. And in a quite a forgettable game with Missouri hosting Vanderbilt, by the way.
Let's get into the topic of Alabama, Texas A&M for a couple of minutes. Your thoughts? I know we're a couple of days removed, but it was a great performance by Alabama. Your breakdown analysis of that game.
I was very surprised. I'll just be honest with you. When we talked last week, I really didn't see in a lot of ways Alabama was going to be able to keep up with them. But they were certainly prepared to play, and they came out looked very good. When you can run the ball and have the balance that they did, it was just amazing. I do believe, Ryan, in as well as Alabama played, we cannot ignore the fact that A&M was really worn down by the two Mississippi schools, and then they played Alabama, but they just didn't have much left. And frankly, as much as I like Kevin Sumlin, for him to get to the elite level like Bobby Petrino, they're going to have to eventually figure out that they've got to have an offense. But I thought the offensive line was much improved. It was crucial in the game. I'm glad to see more guys play. That's been a drum I've been beating for quite some time. So, I mean, it's hard to I don't think you can find any fault in that one. I really don't. It was frankly a remarkable performance, and certainly got Bama at least people talking about them getting back into the with all the goals still in front of them.
Let me go into a topic of conversation. I found this little bit of a nugget in some of the notes that released by the Alabama Media Relations Department, and I thank them for being a big part of our show. I mean, they do a lot of things that give us information to sort of spit out that it would take hours and hours of research to help us with that, and sometimes I like to take them and expand on them. I go back to a nugget that they put in their notes, and they also credit Phil Steele with this. It's called a combined experience chart.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama right now ranks 107th out of 128 teams in total experience. To put that into perspective, Mississippi State is ranked 5th nationally in returning experience. Number 3, Ole Miss, ranked 26. Auburn returns. They're at number 6. Number 6, Oregon, ranked 31st. Alabama, 107th in total experience. That tells you right now, a lot of those freshmen that you were depending on, those sophomores, they've now got that experience under their belt. This team may play their best football towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. They need to dispatch Tennessee in a pretty quick order this weekend, and then use the week off to shore up and self-examine what they need to do. And then they've got it in front of them, unlike probably any other team in the nation does. But look, I think that experience thing's huge. That's why you see so many teams do well when they've got X number of fifth-year seniors. That's very important. And but again, it's just crucial for this team to continue to get the experience that they need. I mean, i.e. Reuben Foster in the kickoff situation, working his way into more playing time on defense, and all these things are nothing but positive for Alabama.
Let's talk about Tennessee. What do you expect from them on Saturday evening inside Neyland Stadium?
Let me do this as far as for your listeners. Here's what you need to be aware of. Number one, you need to relax because it will be a big crowd, and they will certainly be pumped up to play. There'll be a lot of verbiage about Lane Kiffin coming back, but that's not going to matter anything at all once the ball is kicked off. It's beside any of the point. Now, I won't be surprised if Tennessee is able to come out of the gate, play well, maybe even hit a long one on them early on. But it's one of those things to where you'll know where this game's going by the end of the first quarter. The huge advantage Alabama's got, and everybody's talked about it, is the situation where Alabama's defensive line, the front seven, against the Tennessee offensive line, that's going to be the situation that they're going to be able to take advantage of. Jalen Hurd's a good running back, so you can count on that. Marquise North is two. The they have the quarterback's been sacked an alarming 30 times through seven games. They're last in the SEC in rushing. You make them one-dimensional, but again, this is and they're going to have. I'm telling you, they're going to have to block AJ Johnson, the linebacker. There's going to be times where it's going to appear like he's going to make every tackle there is to make. So that's another thing. They've got a good Derek Barnett, a good freshman defensive lineman. So, I mean, I think Bama wins a game comfortably before it's over, but it's on the road. They just got to relax early on. And if I get hit by something, to know that. Well, the reality of it is Tennessee can only score so many points. They've only gotten so many offensive tricks in the bag, and what Alabama's got to be able to do is not give them a short field to allow them to score more than they normally are going to, which, frankly, is not going to be much.
Let me go back to a stat that you're talking about, and I've been at practice every day this week. There's an emphasis on getting after the quarterback. Justin Worley, when you know a weakness, you're going to attack it. And Alabama is going to attack an offensive line that's not very good. They're going to come after the quarterback. You're going to see some blitz packages that maybe you haven't seen before. That's going to be an emphasis in Alabama going forward. A defense now that's got a little bit of confidence in the secondary, which gives you some flexibility on bringing those guys. You look at this game. Is the one key, if Tennessee wins this game, the offensive line is going to have to be a different unit than they showed in the first seven games?
Well, and see, the problem is they've also have some injuries to Coleman Thomas and Marcus Jackson, which could mean they may have some other guys who are having to play, and they're going to struggle too. Tennessee right now doesn't have a lot of depth. Now, I'm telling you, in about 2 years, this team's going to be really good. So they're having a lot of problems right now. Butch Jones is, I think, a pretty good football coach. He's the kind of a coach that Florida needs to hire if they jettison Will Muschamp out the door. And I know they're tired of this. They don't want to hear about how they're still growing up. But at the same time, I mean, when you look at it, this is a team that, with all their problems, they gave Georgia, Florida, and Oklahoma some problems. So people just need to be aware of that as the game continues, because they've got enough athletes and they've got enough good coaching to where that they'll have a plan and they'll have some success on stuff. But in the end, all that's not going to matter because they don't have the roster Alabama does.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State, do they run this table and go into the Egg Bowl undefeated?
I don't think they do because for Ole Miss, they don't have the running game that they need. The interior of their offensive line is not really where they want it. I think for both these teams, Ryan, it's from this point on out, for Ole Miss, Mississippi State, it frankly is, to me, more mental than it is anything else. Now, for Ole Miss schedule is still a real issue, and I know your listeners would like to hear that because, I mean, you still got a situation with LSU and Auburn and Mississippi State, so that's going to be certainly a problem for them. But again, you know, your defense, their defense is very good. They also go to Arkansas with that too. I still think State may be the better overall team. But Ole Miss, I think, has got about two or three chances to lose. And obviously Alabama has Mississippi State coming in. They can deal with that themselves. But at the same time, I don't think that they're able to get through this at this point. I mean, State's got Kentucky, Arkansas, Bama, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss. And at some point, when does the SEC meat grinder of attrition get to them?
It's a very influential voice, and he represented the Southeastern Conference, at least from our standpoint, by the name of Archie Manning. He's stepping away from the playoff committee because of health reasons. How big of a loss was that for the SEC?
I still think that if the SEC does what we're capable, we think they're going to, that they'll have one, if not two, members in it. I mean, when they were going to be discussing the SEC teams, how influential was Archie going to be anyway, frankly? I mean, was he going to be in that discussion, or are they going to recuse him at that point, when it really gets down to brass tacks? That's hard to say. I am sorry to see him go. I'm glad he'll be back next year. He is an incredibly influential voice. A lot of credibility, a lot of integrity, at this point, he just needs to take care of himself and get healthy.
Well, and it's just one of the things that I'm sure that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, because the next time you and I talk, we're going to know a little bit more about the selection committee, because the polls at that point will be released, and that's
Tuesday
the reason
night.
Why.
I agree, and it will be Tuesday night, and at that point, we will know kind of where they're going. Now, what's going to be interesting is, Ryan, are they going to go along the general lines of what we see in the polls, in the general lines of just, well, pure logic, or are we going to see a few curveballs here, and then we'll see. But I think the important point is, whether we agree with it or not, we will get an inkling of where this committee is heading, and after that, you can kind of follow their logic and see how this thing's going to work out. So you're right. That next Tuesday night is going to be very fascinating.